about Bible characters with a cause and trying to get that into us to have a cause in life. We'll be in the book of Numbers, chapter 27, to start off today. Talk about Joshua today. One of the things that I want to make sure we'll be emphasizing is this is not about you as much about you finding your cause as it is you being a person who lives with cause and lives with purpose. And because we found in so many of these Bible characters, they were already doing something for the Lord with their whole heart before they found their big cause of their life, their big thing in life. And so it's a way of living. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do with thy might. It's finding whatsoever you do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. And so today we'll talk about Joshua, and Numbers chapter 27. And verse 16, it says, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation. So Moses is praying here. He's talking to the Lord and said, Lord, can you need to set, I can't go in the promised land, so can you set somebody over? Set a man over the congregation. He knows that's the way God works. In verse 17, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, which may lead them out, which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not a sheep, which have no shepherd. And, you know, please think the right way on this stuff. Please don't think the typical American, I do my own thing, I don't need anybody to... Don't think that way. You can see Jesus saw the people as sheep with no shepherd. This, you need a shepherd. Okay? You need a shepherd, and God set it up like that, so there's a human that helps shepherd you. It doesn't mean they control your life. They just help watch out for you and watch for wolves and guide you. And so Moses was concerned about that, as Jesus was concerned about that. It's a biblical pattern, as God is. That's why he puts under shepherds in 1 Peter to shepherd the flock and to do those things. And children need parents, and people need pastors, and people need governments generally. And just nothing wrong with having a shepherd in your life. It just helps lead you. And God used those shepherds to guide you where he wants you to go. So he wouldn't want them without that. Verse 18. The Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. Thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, that the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. And he shall... And there's so many things about leadership here. Do you notice that he needed honor in order for people to be obedient? And that's why the Bible says to give honor to whom honor is due. That's why if you tear down authority all the time, people don't learn not to obey authority. And that's why if you don't know how to honor people who deserve honor, whether it's the elderly or authority or parents or whatever, if you don't learn to honor, you'll have issues because you won't be able to follow and trust those who God has put in your life. And so he needed honor put upon him, that the children of Israel may be obedient. Verse 21, and he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of Urim before the Lord. And his word shall they go out, and at his word shall they come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation. And he laid his hands upon him and gave him a charge as the Lord had commanded by the hand of Moses. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Our Father, we just pray you'd help us now to get this truth and speak to us now, Father, as we look at Joshua and his cause. And thank you for Bible teaching. Thank you for a clear Bible, Lord. We can look at three or four books of the Bible and learn about Joshua, Lord. And I pray we just get some good lessons and we'd apply them to our heart. And you'd speak to us in a powerful way, Lord, with these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Joshua's cause was basically to support Moses, then lead the Lord's people into the promised land. Support Moses, then lead God's people into the promised land. Remember, Moses was not able to go in the promised land. He smote the rock instead of spoke to it. And and so because he did that and lost his temper and things, then he had to go and let somebody else take them into the promised land to get the victory. And so... Joshua was one to lead them into the promised land. Now, he was the one God chose. Moses prayed for somebody. God chose Joshua. And many of the blessings from Moses went upon Joshua so he could lead the people. Remember, it's probably a couple million people. And he's leading in and lead them to war. People not prepared for war into a fortified war prepared region. And so he had a tough job before him. And that was his cause in his life eventually, was to lead God's people into the promised land and to gain victory over their enemies. Just some thoughts about Joshua. Number one, he was great before he was the leader. He was great before he was the leader. Now let's go back to Exodus. Exodus chapter 17. And verse 8 says, then came Amalek and fought with Israel and Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek tomorrow. And I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses said unto him and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up the top of the hill. Now, this is something that's just so funny if we look at it. It's so funny in the ministry is... they just come out. This is just after they came across the Red Sea. Okay? You know how much battle experience this nation had? Zero. They went from slavery to crossing the Red Sea to traveling through a land and all of a sudden people attack them. You know how much leadership and general experience? You know what a military academy that Joshua went to? None. So why was he the one leading the battle? Because Moses said, Joshua, you go lead the battle. I'll stand up the hill and hold my hands up. And Joshua did as Moses had said. Man, in the ministry, it is an amazing thing. When you serve the Lord and you serve the cause of Christ, you got to be willing to do whatever God puts in front of you. Not... well, I just don't like, or I'm not very good at, or I've never done that before. You know, you can figure anything out if you have to. You know how much, you know, people, it's amazing how little God will use you if you will only let God use you in the areas you're comfortable in. It is amazing how often God takes you out of your comfort zone and says to do this. It's amazing. Those who God uses, those who God does mighty things, but those who God uses all the time, the word is available. That's it. Are they available to? It's for the Lord to use them, no matter what God wants. And those who are experts almost can use it nothing, including what they're experts at, including what they're really good at. Why? They're not available for whatever God needs them for. And God wants you to need him, and so he usually has you do something that you have no idea how to do. Or you're not very good at. I laugh. Ron is maybe the best soul winner in our church. Do you know Ron's not natural at that? No more than I am? Amen, Ron? But he said, you know, I'm supposed to be a soul winner. I always laugh when people say, well, I'd just be too embarrassed. Well, join the club. That's called every human except for the evangelist. It's hard to witness. It's brutal. It's very difficult. And if you're, listen, you know what my job description was this morning? My job description so far today was try to get a family out of the house on time. Failed. And my job description was to drive a shuttle to church. Then it was to take a bunch of boxes out to the recycle bin. Then it was to carry with Matthew a very heavy garbage can that was full of stuff out of the dumpster. Then it was to vacuum the back half of the room. Do you know that's nowhere in my job description as a pastor? But that's what needed done. I don't have the gift of vacuuming, trust me. Ask my wife. I have the gift of making the messes. I'm very gifted at that, and I'm very good at that. But as far as cleaning up, but you know what? Whatever needs done, whatever the cause of Christ wants us to do, what an honor. Not an argument with Moses. Why should I do it? You're sitting up in the hill doing nothing. Oh, man, isn't Moses glad that Joshua wasn't like that? he just said, what needs done? Sure, be glad to. What an honor. And so he was already being used by God. Paul said this, great verse, 1 Timothy 1:12. Why Paul got put in the ministry. 1 Timothy 1:12. It's a great verse. And I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who hath enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. In Acts 13, God just says to the church in Antioch, hey, anoint Saul and Barnabas for the ministry, Paul. And why? Because Paul was faithful. So God said, you better be in the ministry because you're faithful. That's part of the deal. Brother Richter told a story. It's a great story about how that him and another young man who were called to the ministry, they were laymen in the church, but they were going to be going to the ministry. And the pastor was standing there mopping. And Brother Richter says, hey, we've been talking about it. What can we do to get in the ministry? And the pastor held up the mop and said, which one of you wants it? And Brother Richter took the mop and started mopping. And Brother Richter ended up in the ministry, and the other guy didn't. And it's not just taking the mop, but that's the attitude that did that. Because the other guy was kind of like, well, what are you talking about? And didn't want to do it. Why? Because it's availability. He was already a leader in the battle. He was already, look at Exodus 33. It's a little tiny note. Everybody's scared. Everybody's God is afraid of the presence of God. All of Israel was. And Moses is going to go up in the mountain, this amazing chapter in Exodus 33. And let's go to verse 10. And the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshipped every man at his tent door. They were staying back at their tents, watching Moses go to the tabernacle, saying, I'm afraid of the presence of God. Verse 11, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Guess who followed him? And then stayed in the tabernacle. Joshua is already getting used to the presence of God. Joshua is already going where nobody else was going. And everybody else is afraid to go. So when Moses said, God, give somebody to lead the nation, God says, I already got someone I'm used to already talking to. I got someone I'm already used to spending time with, who's already been faithful, who already showed he can follow instructions. I'll pick Joshua. If you think God just says, I got to have somebody to do great things, let me just pick that person over there who's not doing anything and who can't follow instructions. You don't know the character of God very well. Do you pick that way? I got this real important job in my life. Let me find the person who just wants to do their particular job and is kind of lazy the rest of the time and doesn't really like following instructions and kind of complains a lot. I don't think you want to call that person to do something important. And God, Joshua was already great before he was a leader. That's what he already was. And that's important that we do that. Hey, whatever God's given you to do is very important. I truly believe I was talking to someone about how I started preaching. I think, I don't remember who it was for sure, but I was laughing. I think it was Aaron Allison. I was talking about how I, my first real regular preaching was in a nursing home. There was, I mean, a last stop nursing home. His name's Sierra Vista was the name of it in Oregon City. And pastor in that nursing home, boy, I was preacher boy, ready to charge out with the squirt gun. And I had some great sermons prepared, ready to preach and go. Well, they brought the people in. The employees stood at the very back. And I started preaching. And these people, they weren't all there. I'm there with my amazing points. And I'm preaching my great doctrine with my best dissertation, and a lady just stands up right in the middle of the sermon and goes, amazing. I'm preaching. Didn't you know I'm preaching? And they all just kind of did their thing. Some of them didn't know it wasn't time to go to the bathroom. Some of them didn't know, and some of them would not know what I was saying, and some of them would start saying, crying out to their kids or whatever. I mean, it was crazy. And of all the crazy things, while this lady's singing Amazing Grace, standing there while I'm preaching, the employees back there are laughing. And it was like that every week. Now you laugh. You don't understand what it did to me mentally. I want to say, I think I wouldn't have kept going back and giving that my best and preparing a good message and preaching and giving it my best. And thank God I had some workers with me, some teenagers that were able to do the things that needed done and take certain people out and all those things. If it wouldn't have been for that, I probably wouldn't be here today because I wasn't faithful to what God gave me. Now, I don't know how many lives got changed. I don't know, but that's what God gave me to do. What God gives you to do is important, though you don't think it's glorious usually, though it's not what you had planned. Number two, he had faith and courage. He had faith and courage. Numbers 14, he had faith and courage. This is the story, of course, of Kadesh Barnea, where they go and send the spies in, and Joshua was one of the spies now. He said, go in and spy out the land. So there's Joshua again, one of the trusted people that goes in as a spy, one of the 12. Him and Caleb come back and give a good report. The other 10 come back and give a bad report. But Joshua is courageous. And they told about the giants, and everybody got scared. In verse 1, it says, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would to God we had died in the land of Egypt. Would to God we had died in this wilderness. Wherefore hath the Lord brought us forth unto this land to fall by the sword. And so they're complaining. They're saying, let's go back to Egypt. This is terrible. Verse 6, and Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephthah, which were with him that search out the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto the company, the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delight in us, he will bring us into the land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel ye not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregations stoned them with stones. Joshua was courageous. And we said last week, if you cannot be courageous, you cannot serve the Lord. The devil will scare you away with fear. God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Remember, God never leads through fear. God leads through peace. The devil always pushes through fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear. And if you cannot be courageous when you don't feel like it, when you're kind of scared, and do what's right anyway, the devil's going to eventually get you and get you out of that. He was courageous. Let's go to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. He was courageous. Verse 2, it says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. He says, you know what? You got to go into this promised land. And he had to obey, and he had to be courageous. because he's courageous, he got to go in the promised land. See, when Kadesh Barnea happened, when they're in the city of Kadesh Barnea, they sent out the spies. Spies came back. The evil report came. Everybody screamed and cried and wanted to go back to Egypt. Joshua and Caleb said, no, let's go in right away. God said, none of you get to go in except for Joshua and Caleb. And I'm not going to turn there. The reference is Numbers 26:65. And Joshua, out of a couple million people, we don't know exactly how many, somewhere between 1.5 million and some people think as many as 4 million people, but a couple million people at least, out of all the couple million people, two got to go in. Why? Because Joshua was courageous. And God said, you go in now. He wasn't afraid. He trusted God, and he didn't live in that fear. He had faith and courage, and he got rewarded because he got to go in the promised land. Number three, he knew how to serve. Joshua 1:1. Now, after the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister. Then let me read you Exodus 24 and verse 13. It says, Exodus 24:13, and Moses rose up and his minister, Joshua. You know what Joshua was? He was the guy who walked beside Moses, and Moses said, I need a general. I need a spy. I need a this. I need a that. Joshua was the servant. Joshua knew how to serve. The greatest among you shall be your servant. We're so far from that, that even if somebody has a right to tell you what to do, if they're your boss, if they tell you what to do, you're still offended. We're so far from being servants, we can't even serve somebody who has the right to tell us what to do. That's how far we are from it. Yet Jesus said, let me wash your feet. We've got this hard shoulder, this, don't tell me what to do. You could have asked differently. You're so Americanized and got that rebellion in you. Yes, I'm strong-willed, and yes, I have a strong spirit. But you know what you'd learn to do? Learn to say, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. There's nothing in the Bible that says, they shall ask you with great respect thereof, or thou shalt not obey them. That's why, you know, that is why foreign military people usually become better Christians, by the way. If you want to find some great churches, go around military bases. You'll find amazing churches because people know how to say yes, sir. And that permeates all the way from the bottom to the children, how they're raised, to saying yes, sir, to God when God calls in the ministry. Well, I went to Bible college with an unbelievably disproportionate number of people from the military. I would say in my Bible college, I would say, I don't know, the population of America, I would say 5% are military. I don't know. I would say I went to college with 35% of people were military, former military. Why? They learned respect. They learned obedience. They learned to serve. And I think it's very important that we get that characteristic. We have so much pride that we're not going to let anybody just tell us what to do. Hey, sit down. I'm not going to sit down. Ask me, I might. What's wrong with you? Amen? Yes, sir. Yeah, that's better. And it's strange. It's strange when you're a leader how carefully you have to ask everything to everybody. You know how much more efficient we would be if we could just say, hey, can you do this, and you do this, and you do this, and you do this? Amen. And so, next, Joshua knew how to serve. Next, he was obedient to the Lord. Let's look at Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Doesn't mean that bores, you should try to find people to follow who are nasty and mean. Avoid it if you can. Try to find good people who are nice and kind and say please and all that stuff. But listen, just learn a spirit of serving. Whatever needs done. If the toilet needs scrubbed, the toilet needs scrubbed. Hey, fine. He was obedient to the Lord. Joshua 1, verse 10. And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare ye victuals. Within 3 days ye shall pass over Jordan and go in and possess the land which the Lord God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God shall give you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But you shall pass over before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them. Unto the Lord hath given your brethren rest. And so Joshua just told in chapter 1, he says, go over. And Joshua said, all right, guys, let's go. Let's go up. Everybody up. Soldiers, go first. We're going. Get the Ark of the Covenant. And he just obeyed God. Same chapter, same time period. Joshua did not delay, did not debate, did not argue, did not find a way to procrastinate. Joshua knew how to obey. He was obedient to the Lord, and he made all the instructions and just said. And he knew he's going to a dangerous situation, but he obeyed. You know, you find that everything has never worked out before you obey. Things work out after you obey. Things work out after you obey. You just got to do what God says. And he was obedient to the Lord. Next, he met the Lord. Joshua 1 and verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, the land which I give to them, even to the people of Israel. And so God's talking to him now. And he met the Lord. Go to chapter 5. They're near the first walled city, the border city, Jericho. Of course, it's great walls, huge walls. And you have to understand, before the day of bombs or grenades, and a wall was a terrible obstacle. It's very hard to climb a giant wall while people were shooting arrows and dropping rocks and pouring boiling oil on you. Walls were terrible obstacles. Okay, before parachutes and airplane, everything. A wall, and Jericho had these famed walls that were so huge. And Joshua's crossed the Jordan, and there they are on the other side, getting ready to go and figure out what to do. And Joshua's going for a walk to go look at the walls and maybe just figure out what to do and pray. And in verse 13, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went out to him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship. We think this is the Lord because Joshua worshipped and because of wording here. And said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Where was that also said? Burning bush with Moses. We think Jesus is standing there, the captain of the host. And he's standing there. And so we see this is probably an appearing of Christ in the Old Testament. Listen, he got instructions then. And he got with God. I think that one of the most important things you'll ever do in life to get a cause is just you getting with the Lord, you getting to know the Lord, you getting your challenges, you getting your instructions. All of chapter 1 of Joshua is God saying, Joshua, I'm going to be with you, do it this way, and keep my word and do this. It's God giving him instructions. See, Joshua was obedient, and Moses was leading him, and he was doing what Moses said, and God was leading him through Moses for a period of time, but then there came a time when Joshua, on his own, had to get with the Lord and get what God had for him and what God had for him to do. And that's all of us. All of us have times where we're following and people are leading us. The Lord's leading us through people. We also have times when we have to give it to the Lord and just find out what the Lord wants for us and what the Lord is leading us. And in both positions, it's the Lord ultimately leading us. But there comes a time when you just have to get with God and hear from God. There's things that humans cannot do for you and do and teach you and help you in. And he met the Lord. Back in chapter 1, he received his instructions that would keep him for life. And it would keep him as he went. He was old by this time, but it would keep him for the rest of his life and get him all the way through into victory in the promised land. And there are just foundational things. Verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. For from the wilderness of Lebanon, even to the great sea, we give you all this land. There shall not be a man able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. God says, I will be with you. Boy, the most comforting words in the world. Amen. The Great Commission, I'm so glad. At the end of the Great Commission, he says, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. How many times have I quoted that verse overseas somewhere in some strange church with people who don't understand in some strange culture, thinking, how am I going to preach and how my translator doesn't speak very good English? And I said, Lord, you said you'd be with me to the end of the world. Just do something here. Because God says, I will be with you. He's given Joshua the foundational things in his life that you better remember the rest of your life. And they're just about four things. I will be with you. That's going to be fine. Be strong and courageous. He says that three times. Be strong and courageous. You're going to need to do that. Be strong and courageous over and over because I'm with you. And stay in the Bible. Verse 6, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance of land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that thou may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And then Joshua commanded the people. Boom. See that obedience? And I find that in life, that God gives you your foundations in your early in your Christian life, and those things will be what you need for the rest of your life. There'll be some point of massive growth where God's speaking to you, where you're getting to know God, and those things are very important, because you have your own things that God has to really implant into you and impart into you that are going to be the foundation of what you're going to do for the rest of your life spiritually, and you need to keep those things, and He makes those very important to you. I have 5 things. I've written about them. I've said them. I've done a lot with them, and those 5 things are still the same 5 things that are important to us today that we still base the entire ministry on. Because God gives you what you need and gives you a direction and gives you a foundation that you'll need the rest of your life. And never depart from those things that God gives you that'll build you up and that keep you going and make you strong and really what are really important for you. And he became very obedient right then after he met the Lord and went and did it. Next, he was serious about his cause. Let's go to Joshua 7. They destroyed Jericho, and then they lost to Ai, a little tiny town. And Joshua said, hey, everywhere we go, the Bible says everywhere our the sole of our foot trods, we get victory, God said. And we just lost. And we were retreated, and we lost this little city. Oh, God, what are we going to do? And he's devastated. Verse 6, Joshua 7:6. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell on the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord, even until eventide. He and all the elders of Israel put dust in their heads. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content to dwell on the other side Jordan. Boy, he's losing his faith. He's disturbed. He's brokenhearted. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turn their backs before their enemies? And he goes on and on. Why? Joshua wanted this cause. Joshua wanted this cause. He was brokenhearted that they weren't winning. He was devastated that because he wanted them to inherit the entire land. And he told the people, get up and go, and let's go, and let's fight, and be courageous and strong, and he stood strong. Why? Because he had a passion for this cause. He's a very passionate man. And the defeat, he was devastated. And you see that passion for the cause. Now, he fixed it. When he was very hurting and struggling, he said, and the Lord said, get up. There's something wrong. There's sin in the camp. Joshua didn't know that. And so he went and found the sin in the camp and destroyed the family, the man that did it. And he got back on track, and he went and won the battle. And he made sure everybody stayed in line. Why? Because he cared about the cause. And he had a passion for the cause that God had given it. Hey, it was crazy. He went and got crazy instructions for Jericho to walk around the city 7 times. And the 7th day, 7 times around it, and blow the trumpet, the walls will fall down. And he cared about the cause enough to look like he's crazy and obey and do it. Next, Joshua had great influence. We go forward till the end of Joshua's life in Judges chapter 2. I think because he was obedient, because he was a servant, and he had faith and courage and met the Lord, because of all these things, he had influence. And there's few things more precious in all life than influence. He didn't just have authority, he had influence. Let me tell you, influence gives you authority, but authority does not give you influence. Judges chapter 2. And verse 7, it says, and the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of the inheritance of there and the Mount Ephraim, the north side of the hill Gaash, and all the generation that gathered under their fathers, and there arose another generation which knew not the Lord, neither yet the works which he had done in Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Hey, as long as Joshua was alive, he had great influence and led a nation. And what a precious thing that was. And he had influence on others who influenced others. Last thing I want to say is Joshua was a person of decision for the Lord. And back to Joshua 24. And a well-known verse 15, Joshua speaking, "If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your father served, whether they were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Amen. So Joshua was a man of conviction, of decision. He wasn't wishy-washy. He wasn't double-minded. He wasn't, "We're going to try and see what happens." He said, "Me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." I believe very strongly in decisions. I think intentions do nothing. I think decisions do everything. I find the people who seem like they just cannot do this thing, they cannot do this thing, it's because they never decided to. They decided to try, not to do it. When you decide you're going to do something, you find a way. That's why so often I illustrate things. People say, "I don't know if I can make church. If you got $1 million, if you came, would you make it?" Well, yeah, it's because you decide to. You wouldn't try anymore. You wouldn't intend to. You would decide to. Decisions are huge when you say, "I am going to do this." You know, if you said, "I am going to have a Christian home," you might mess up and not have a perfect home for a while. But if you decide to have a Christian home, not try to, but you're going to, you might go two steps forward, one step back, but you're going to keep your, even though you fell, you're going to have a Christian home. And you got to get back up and you learn from that. You're going to fix it. If you decided to go to church, you go to church. You might get a flat tire. I understand that. And something might happen. But you decided to. I was laughing at one of my kids. I can't remember which one I was talking to. I said, "You know, it is amazing that I've never missed a Sunday. I've never missed a service in 17 years of the church. Except for when I was overseas. Thursday night, Sunday morning, a single service. I've never missed a service. I was never too sick. I never broke down where I couldn't get there. I broke down plenty of times. Robbie, you've had to come and get me a time or two." I said, "How in the world did I not miss one midweek service one time?" I'm not exaggerating. I mean, in 7 years, I've never missed a service. Why? I decide to. Have you ever been sick and been here? Oh, man. I've been sick. I preached to you, and he said, what's wrong with him? Something was wrong with me. And sometimes I'm just preaching a bad sermon, but sometimes I'm sick or whatever. I don't say much. Listen, why? Because I decided when I was 17, I'm going to church. I'm one day, and I'm over on this. I just decided I had to go to church. I was so weak, and I had to be there. And I decided I'd make it no matter what. The one time I got sent home from church, it was soul winning night, and I'd gotten all four of my wisdom teeth pulled that afternoon. I was, you know, you look like when you got all four wisdom teeth pulled. And I was 18, and they pulled all four of them. And I was in so much pain, and I said, "All right, so time to go soul winning." So I popped a codeine, and hopped in my truck and drove. And by the time I got to church, I was like, "That stuff affects me." And I was high as a kite. And I pulled the parking lot, and I pulled up and parked next to somebody in the car. And the pastor walked out and looked at me and said, "What is wrong with you?" I'm like, "I got my wisdom teeth pulled today, and I'm kind of dizzy." And he said, "You need to go home." And so that was my time I didn't go to church, but I was there. Now, don't do that. I'm weird. I understand that, you know. But I just find that when people just, whatever is important to you, you know, people didn't say, "I'm going to try to watch the Super Bowl this year." They didn't say that. On your birthday, you say, I'm going to try to make it to my party.
Whatever you decide, you pretty much do, right? You know what happened if you had to try to stop some people from watching the Super Bowl this year? It'd been a fight. Because they're more determined for that than they are to go to church. Why? They make a decision they're going to do something. That's it. Joshua said, me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Not, guys, let's all just put our best effort in here and we'll try. Great things don't happen that way. I mean, you know, I'm going to try to climb Mount Everest. Let's just see what happens. No. It's work and planning and effort. It's like people who try to lose weight and people who try to, you know, you don't try to lose weight. You don't try to quit smoking. I never see anybody quit smoking trying. Never. You just say, I got to quit. You do not do great things without great decisions. You just don't. There's too many things that will come in the way. So make big decisions and stick with them. Don't make a million big decisions, no. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's a big decision. You know, make 5 or 6 big decisions in your life over the years. And stick with those. My biggest decision as an early Christian was to go to church all the time. I knew I just had to, or I was never going to make it because I was so weak. But you don't have to make... I decided I was going to read 3 chapters of the Bible every day when I was a teenager. And I decided that. And those are just a few. I just made a few of those big decisions. And boy, have they sustained me through the years because I decided something to do it with all my heart. So make those decisions like Joshua did. And he and his house would serve the Lord. And that's good. All right, we got to finish up. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, may we make big decisions for you. May we be faithful like Joshua was. May we be courageous. Thank you for Joshua and his example. What a servant from just a yes sir man to a mighty man who leads millions of people. Thank you for this example, and I pray that we would learn and apply these lessons and live with. And Lord, the great thing is he fulfilled his cause, and may we get that. And may we get great things to do and do great things for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed until church.